Hi, I'm Jennifer Kelly, and when I'm not cheering on the amazing women and men of the Louisiana hospitality industry, I'm listening to the Power Plug podcast by Fidelity Bank.
Are you a woman ready to charge up her business? You're in the right place. This is the Power Plug podcast by Fidelity Bank, where we believe in your POWER, the potential of women entrepreneurs realized, and all women with an entrepreneurial spirit. Each episode is filled with practical advice, tools, and tips to help you build your business and keep you energized. Now, for your host, Mary Foley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Mary Foley here, and glad to be with you. Hey, have you ever attended an event and thought, wow, this is so terrific. I am so glad I came. And then thought, well, what made it so good? Did you create new connections or did you further existing relationships? How could you use live events as a strategy to build your business? Well, hold on. That's what we're talking about today. And we've got an expert who can fast forward what you need to know so that your special events are totally worth it. But before that, did you know that the Power Plug Podcast is like your personal resource library on all kinds of topics to help you grow and manage your business? Well, that's right. In just 30-minute bites, your mind can nibble on topics like power networking strategies and savvy market research and finding balance. You can do all this while you're driving, you're working out, or putting on glitter on, well, anything, because that happens a lot in New Orleans. Just go to fidelitybankpower.com, pick any episode that just smiles at you saying, please click me, and to make it even more handy, click on any one of the icons there to subscribe so you can easily listen on your phone while you're on the go. Totally free, and you can share it with your friends. Now, let's get talking about how to use special events for our businesses, and we're going to do that with today's guest, Jennifer Kelly. Now, if you're going to learn about the ins and outs and the best way to use special events to achieve your business goals, you might as well go straight to the top, right? Well, Jennifer is the executive director of the Louisiana Hospitality Foundation. Hospitality professionals know that everything they do is a special event, and Louisiana is a state that does it like no other. So, like I said, let's just go straight to the top to dish on this. Hey, Jennifer, welcome to the Power Plug Podcast.
Hi, thank you.
I'm really glad you're here. I mean, it's two of my favorite topics, or maybe three. I mean, it's like, you know, events, food and beverage, building my business. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, if combine those together, it's like the trifecta of at least what I think I've been perfecting for at least 20 years because, well, I don't know, the food and beverage part. I've been doing a lot of eating, a lot of drinking, a lot of talking. So maybe I'm pre-qualified. What do you think?
Absolutely. That's what we love.
Yeah. Well, I know you're with the Louisiana Hospitality Foundation. I want to start there. I'd love to understand more about the foundation. Now, what's the story behind it and what's its purpose?
Well, thank you for asking. Our foundation was created in 2006. It was an idea before Hurricane Katrina entered the New Orleans area, but we were chartered on paper after the incident and got our organization started with some of our hospitality industry leaders who just wanted to make a bigger difference in their local communities with the resources that they had through the industry. We are a 501c3 charity, and our mission is that we are dedicated to supporting Louisiana's hospitality industry workers. And as you know, Louisiana is a hospitality mecca, so we have lots of employees with restaurants, hotels, tourism, bars, cruise ships, and such that makes up our hospitality industry here in the state. And our mission work is focused in two areas. We do education grants, which help organizations that are offering some sort of education for hospitality or culinary workforce development. And then the other part of our mission is to help individuals that work in the industry when they have emergencies. We run a crisis grant program for hospitality industry workers.
Oh, wow. I love that. And so how did it get started? So if it doesn't have a Hurricane Katrina story, there's probably another story behind it.
Yeah, it was just some of our leaders were motivated to take those resources that they had, relationships, you know, availability of marketing dollars and food and beverage resources and volunteer hours and such that they had access to through work, and they knew that they could do better good in the community. They, and don't get me wrong, before this foundation was created, there was plenty of hospitality, volunteerism, and support to the community. I mean, most charities can't exist without the hospitality industry. Every fundraiser needs food and beverage. But our leaders were motivated to do more with what they had and take the lead and create something that they would have the ability to build over time.
Mm, that's great. That's great. And obviously, since Katrina, and then even, you know, a good decade now later, continuing to support the hospitality profession, the hospitality industry, I mean, so critical to the economy of New Orleans area, let alone Louisiana. So I'm wondering now, so how do you, as the foundation, how do you use events to support the mission of your foundation?
Well, the business model of our foundation is truly built around special events as our fundraising revenue. And you'll learn through our conversation today that over 90% of our annual income each year comes from either special events that we produce or special events that we're a part of through partnerships. We can't survive without special events. And that's not what every charity does. You know, different charities have revenue diversity in other areas. We just have chosen to use special events because of the resources that are available to us. And as I mentioned, that's the money that fuels our organization. That's how we keep running. That pays my salary. It pays the overhead that we have for things like insurance. But it also funds the work of our foundation when we're giving those grants to either individuals having emergencies or those education programs.
You've probably learned a thing or two about how it's effective, and perhaps even more effective, but this is what I'd love you to know, is that why have you found in for the foundation that it's so effective as a fundraising tool versus, let's say, a postal campaign or an email campaign that says, please donate?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, we are the hospitality industry. So for us, it's a very efficient way for us to approach our fundraising strategy. But for any business that may be listening to our conversation today, you know, special events, it's a business model to consider just like any other proposition that comes. I recommend that people think about, well, what is the return on investment versus the time and resources necessary to put into something. You know, we've produced things of all scale. We own the Louisiana Seafood Festival, which in its best years was a 3-day food and music festival that would host 50,000 people and make six figures after expenses. But that's not every year. It's a risky business model, and there's weather and other things that can impact it. So we have to really think about, well, what is, you know, the potential return on the investment? What's the risk? What's the time that's necessary to put into it? And we've also done things on a small scale, such as setting up a table at an industry luncheon and selling raffle tickets and walking away with a couple $100s. You know, my quick answer is always everything above zero is a win, but that's not a fair statement, because anything above zero is important to us. We're a foundation, but we also do have to evaluate what is the right investment of time and resources. One thing that I like to tell people is that I'm the executive director. I'm also the only employee. So we really have to be smart about what decisions we make and what's the best use of our time. My time as the paid staff, and then we also have many volunteers, and of course our board of directors are volunteers as well. You had mentioned, you know, the special events versus maybe a postal campaign. We don't actually use a lot of direct mail. Personally, it's not something that we've put in our budget just because we don't have a big marketing budget, and we feel like to be effective with that strategy, we would have to do multiple mail campaigns to build that frequency with whoever we're trying to reach. We do, however, use digital mail. We do email campaigns, and that doesn't correspond to direct revenue. You know, the special events, we can have a direct revenue goal, have that output. You know, it's an easy plan, whereas the email is really used as the ability to communicate and continue to keep our message and mission relevant in front of our audiences. And we have different audiences, such as sponsors, volunteers, ticket buyers, people within the industry, people that we've helped. So we use email pretty strategically, but it's very cost effective to have that, you know, awareness tool out in front of everybody throughout the year.
Do you think that you, like for a big special event that you do where you're selling tickets and that people are, you know, maybe there's a sit down dinner or involved, they're paying for an experience, but they also know that they are helping to support the foundation, right? So it's a feel good in that way. And therefore they may say, well, you know, that's why I'm happy to pay a bit more than I would, let's say, at a restaurant, because I know it's going to the foundation and that's part of the goal here. And they know that. Do you think it's easier to sell tickets to an event than it is to send an email or a postal mail and simply ask for straight donations?
In my opinion, it's two very different asks, and you would have to be in a different place in the sales funnel with each of those, whether it's a special event or a direct ask. A special event, you might not have ever heard of our charity, but you might be interested in the programming that the event is offering. So that proposition, that value proposition of, oh, what does it cost for that table or ticket, may outweigh, have I ever heard of this charity? Because they might care, like we have a gala coming up and it's a fabulous dinner. It's a chef's focused event, 5-course dinner from fabulous famous chefs. It's called the Gold Medal Chef's Gala. Somebody that's never heard of us might buy that ticket because they're a foodie. Somebody that's never worked with us might buy that ticket because they want to be in the room with all these industry leaders and they want to network for their own personal gain. Or they may already be a supporter and they're coming back again. That type of event is going to bring us the revenue that we need, but it also allows us, as you mentioned, to engage with people and give them an experience that we work really hard on trying to differentiate from other galas, because pretty much every major charity has some sort of sit-down dinner gala type event. It's a very popular business model. So we try to work on our programming to differentiate. And it's way different than asking directly, will you please give us money for the good work that we do? If you've never heard of us and you've never engaged with us, you've never heard the story of one of the families that we've helped, no, you wouldn't likely have any emotional tie to us and give us $5 or $500 because you don't have any connection. So I think that that would correlate to pretty much any business. If you think about the traditional sales funnel, you have to have awareness before you can break a sale and definitely before you have any kind of loyalty with the customer.
We've got to take a quick break. So hold on and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Liz Brockman, in charge of power at Fidelity Bank. As a woman in business, you know that it all comes down to great relationships with your customers, employees, suppliers, and your bank. That's why we're excited about our new power program. We have designed to meet not only your financial needs to grow your business, but also your non-financial ones, like practical know-how, savvy connections, and trustworthy resources. Whether it's our online Power Member Directory, member-only Facebook group, sponsored events, or more, we are your community partner to help your business succeed and flourish. At Fidelity, we're here for powerful business. When women in business succeed, we all do. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Hello, welcome back. This is Mary Foley, and today I'm talking with Jennifer Kelly, who's executive director of the Louisiana Hospitality Foundation. And we're talking about how you can use special events that they use a whole lot of to build your business. It seems to me some of them are your own event, our own events that we could create. Some of them are existing events. Is one better than the other?
I wouldn't say one's better than the other. I would say that the time and resources that you need to evaluate as you consider, am I going to participate in someone's event or am I going to create an event? You need to think about what that return on investment will be, what your goals are that you're trying to achieve, and then do an evaluation like you would any other strategy that you're going to do with your business. I like both, and we do both. I think it's a good balance, especially if you want to think of it as like a risk evaluation. Because when you're producing your own event, it's you, it's yours. The success is 100% your responsibility. Everyone engaged is hanging on your success plan. And there can be a lot of benefit at the end. You can build awareness, you can have new customers, you can obviously make money. In my case, I'm fundraising. Again, it depends on what your goal is, but sometimes it makes more sense to just jump into someone else's event because they've already got the resource established. They have, maybe it's an existing trade show, for instance, that happens in pretty much every industry, and they've already captured this audience that's going to come together that you can benefit from, and you can project your either products or services and position against your competitors because they've already put it all together. You just have to figure out how you fit in. I think there's benefit to having both in your strategy.
What should we think about when it comes to size? I mean, you know, the whole thing, the adage is bigger is better, but maybe not so much.
Yeah, I do like the comment of bigger is better. I still also follow the rule of location, location, location. Mm. When you're creating your own event, I would say you really need to think of all those things: timing, size. You know, what is the goal? Again, goal, goal, goal. What are you trying to achieve? If you're really doing a happy hour for 12 people, I bet you're really trying to get to know somebody a lot deeper. Maybe they're prospective clients that you're just trying to get to know at a different level and take them out of that stuffy work environment and share some wine and cheese. Or maybe you're trying to engage people who don't know anything about you, and that trade show is really going to be a good fit. It doesn't have to be a 50,000 person festival. It doesn't have to be a 700 person seated dinner. The diversity of special events is a special space in the marketing world. And there's so many things to choose from, which may be a scare. And I think it's worth saying, if you have the resources, there are also special event specialists. There are meeting planners that could help guide you in developing a plan to meet your goals and to efficiently use your resources. Mm-hmm. And you can participate in so many different ways. You can sponsor an event. You're going to put some resources into a financial investment. You're going to put maybe some of your staff, you know, people time, probably some financial resources for some supporting materials to reinforce what that sponsorship commitment is. But it's someone else's event. You're helping them by sponsoring them because they're asking for sponsorships for some motivation. I know in charity, we ask for sponsorships to try to cover our overhead. If we can cover our overhead in producing an event with sponsorships, any other revenue would be what we make, our net revenue, our fundraising, the money that impacts our community. You can volunteer. I love when someone says, I don't really have money, but I have time. That's amazing. That's so important. Volunteering, whether it's volunteering at the trade show or taking a team building trip and putting everybody in the same t-shirt to go build a Habitat for Humanity house. There are so many volunteer options. And it's not just nonprofit. You can volunteer in a for-profit space and still be a part of something if people resources is what you have. And, you know, it's not always cash resources that are available. I know I spoke in the first part of our podcast about being a thought leader and being a speaker. That's one way to be engaged with a special event. But you can also attend a special event. You know, I highly recommend that professionals get out into the community, know your community, know your neighborhood, know where your customers live, work, go to school, go to church, shop. The more you know about who you're trying to work with, the more impactful that relationship will be as you try to build it. And there are plenty of events in the communities. I know that there, from a professional point of view, we have chambers, we have convention and visitors bureaus, but from a personal standpoint, you have, you know, neighborhood associations, you have playgrounds and schools and churches. There's so many different ways to engage with an audience that would be through a special event.
Yeah, and I was thinking as you were saying all these different ways to engage: trade shows, sponsoring, volunteering, being a speaker, attending, buying a ticket if there's a ticket that's involved. All of those have one thing in common, and that is you have the opportunity to create new relationships or further relationships. I'm wondering if there are some big lessons learned from doing special events that you could pass on to us?
Ooh, yes. If you are dealing with technology as some sort of level of your special event, whether you're going to put a that virtual speaker on a screen, I highly recommend that you test all of your technology. Wi-Fi and bandwidth is either going to make or break an experience. I would test it the day before, the week before, an hour before, 10 minutes before, because those things change, and that can absolutely derail an entire event if you're technology driven. I think that having a budget is the most important from a financial standpoint. You need to really know what the goal is and then identify if your ratio of expenses to revenue is making any sense. You know, I can put on a gala and have, you know, filet mignon and osso buco for 600 people, but is that going to blow my budget? Mm-hmm. You know, I could give, you know, diamond gifts to everybody that attends. Is that going to blow my budget? You know, so you really need to put a sharp pencil to the financial goals and identify any other goals that you're trying to achieve with a special event. I mentioned location earlier. I think it's extremely important to think about location of when, if you're producing your own event, I guess is a better way to position this. If you're producing your own event, timing mm-hmm. and location are absolutely the two most important things. If you are scheduling your festival on a weekend that happens to be another major festival within a 50-mile radius, that's major competition, and you're crazy. You should think about location. What's the accessibility for people? Is there enough parking? Do they even know how to get there? I remember when we were doing the Louisiana Seafood Festival probably a good 6-7 years ago, we were moving it to a part of the city out into a public park. Everybody knew where the park was, but nobody knew how to use it. Nobody knew how to park there. Handicapped customers didn't know where they would park. It was a training year. We absolutely had to train our audience on how to come and enjoy time at our festival. And you could see the change in the bottom line because we spent so much time and effort on the communications that first year that we didn't really reap more reward until the next year because we had to train people. There's just a lot of pitfalls that you can avoid if you try to communicate with other people that have done it before. I don't believe in reinventing the wheel if you don't have to. So when I became a festival producer, I networked with other festival producers. And we all have the same, you know, grievances. Excuse me. We all have dealt with things that we don't want someone else to have to spend 2 months figuring out. Whether it's infrastructure, you know, we built a festival in the middle of a park that didn't have running water, but we were going to have food. You know, like, how do you deal with that? Well, I didn't have to figure it out on my own because I had peers that could tell me other solutions that they've used and other resources and vendors in the community that might be helpful, or even a sponsor solution where we're all winning because we're working together on a problem. Event planning is a lot of fun, but I do have to say, you'll either love it or hate it. it's not made for everybody. And if you're the person that hates it, that's okay because there are people that love it and they're meeting planners and special event planners and marketing specialists. So if you love it, don't do it alone. You know, have someone help you. But if you don't love it, there's someone there that has your back.
I know that you have a pretty exciting new initiative that you're doing, an event with Fidelity Bank, and it's called Power Palettes. I would love to hear about that.
I am so excited to be partnering with our bank, Fidelity Bank, and their Power program. And we are going to be producing the inaugural Power Palettes throughout the month of July. So if you're listening and July hasn't happened yet, you're invited to come out to New Orleans area restaurants and bars that have signed up to feature a powerful woman in their business. This might be a chef, it might be a restaurant owner, it might be a bar program manager, it might be a hostess. There are so many different positions and places within this industry to work. And we're really putting a spotlight on the women of hospitality. So that's one part of it where we're elevating women in our community in the hospitality industry. But another part is a fundraiser for our charity, the Hospitality Foundation. So if you go and visit these businesses, they are each featuring some sort of dish or drink, and the sales of that item will be fundraising for the Hospitality Foundation. A portion of each sale will help us in our mission. So anyone listening that wants to check out Power Palettes can log on to the website to see a list of all the women in restaurants, and it is powerpalettes.com.
I think it's really exciting. Jennifer, last thing, for those who want to learn more about the Louisiana Hospitality Foundation, perhaps connect with you personally, what is the best way they can do that?
I always like to drive traffic to our website. It's a pretty simple URL. It's louisianahospitality.org. When you go to the website, you can learn more about our events, as we've spent our time today talking about, and that's how we do most of our fundraising. There is the opportunity to make a direct donation on the website if you're inclined and interested in supporting the work that we do in the community. And there's other information about getting involved, such as sponsoring one of our events, attending an event, or even volunteering. All that can be found at louisianahospitality.org.
That's great. Thank you so much. I encourage everybody to check that out and to be a part of Power Palettes through the month of July. Hey, have a great rest of your day, Jennifer, and we will be eating and drinking together soon.
Thank you very much.
All of us have powerful people in our lives, just like the one on today's Power Plug podcast. Our Power program is unlike any other in our region. At Fidelity, we're bringing amazing women together to be part of something special. We not only have banking and financial options with women entrepreneurs in mind, we also provide opportunities for you to make valuable connections and to promote your business. At Fidelity, we're here for powerful business. When women in business succeed, we all do. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Wow, that was fast. But we hope you are feeling re-energized to power up your business and go after your dreams. Make sure you stay recharged. Subscribe to the Power Plug podcast at fidelitybankpower.com so you can get the latest episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, keep believing in the power of you just like we do.